check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends today. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. I am, man, it has been a week. It's been a day. So I'm ready to talk some spooky movies.
That is true. Yes, I've had quite the week as well. So I'm ready for some distraction and to talk about movies as well. And today, the primary movie we're talking about is Arcadian, which is now on Shudder, starring Nick Cage, among others. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Before we get there into all of our other things, Ike, what did you watch this week?
Yeah, you know, other than, of course, Arcadian, honestly, didn't watch too much. We're still watching Supernatural. We are now to the part of the show where Amara has come and gone. So we have Dean and Sam with their mom back, and they're kind of dealing with the British men of letters. So that's a fun time. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting part of the show.
Yeah. You're kind of down the home stretch here.
Yeah. And, almost there.
A lot of people knocked the British men of letters. I didn't think it was too awful bad. It didn't last too long. So I didn't think it overstayed its welcome.
No.
Not too bad.
I like it. I like the whole other world stuff that comes up and everything else. So I like it.
Yeah. Well, of course, I'm always watching Supernatural as well, but let's see what else I watched. I also watched a rewatch of all the Terrifier movies. Just got that urge. Watched All Hallows Eve, Terrifier, and Terrifier 2. Watched them all. Just one of those things every so often it strikes me. Other than that, I don't think I watched really that much horror related outside of that and the movie today. I haven't even had a chance to watch too much of the X-Files, which I've been rewatching, so kind of been all over the place. But that's the extent of what I've watched this week. So, all right, then let's move on.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it is time for our cheesy slasher of the week. And this episode, we present to you Blood Lake. This movie was released in 1987, written by Doug Barry, directed by Tim Boggs. The movie was starring Doug Barry, Angela Darter, Mike Kaufman, and many others. Stanley Fraser, who played the killer in the movie, was an ex-wrestler known as Plowboy Fraser in Memphis and Uncle Elmer in WWE. And not just, he wasn't just kind of a spot wrestler. I mean, he had a whole career. I mean, he was pretty well known. I was kind of surprised that I didn't know that he was the killer in this movie, but yes, indeed he was. So that was pretty cool. The movie was described as six teenagers are partying one weekend. One couple disappears, only to be found brutally murdered. A bloodthirsty killer is stalking them. One by one, bodies begin to show up as they become prey to the vengeance-seeking maniac. I feel like that's a very generic description that can apply to many, many slasher movies of the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
But the movie was filmed at Cedar Lake in Oklahoma over 10 days with an estimated budget of $6,000. The tagline for the movie was, "A quick dip in the lake turns into a bloodbath of horror." And the movie is now available to watch on Tubi. The movie's definitely cheesy, definitely low budget, but it's actually not too bad. It's kind of a fun little watch. There's a younger brother, I can't remember his name, a younger teenage brother in the movie that is like going on this trip with his older brother and all the friends and stuff. And he's kind of the highlight of the movie for me. He's pretty funny, and the shit he says is just pretty hilarious. And it is all very kind of reflective of 1987, which I don't know. I would also say it's probably pretty timeless. that I don't think, you know, like a whatever, a 14 or 15 year old in 1987 probably doesn't think much better than a, you know, 14 or 15 year old in 2024. It's just the tools they have about them are a little different. So, yeah, but not a super bad movie, but definitely a cheesy slasher. So there you go. Available on Tubi. Go out and give it a watch and let us know what you think. So now let's move on to our next segment.
Two Truths and an AI.
And this week, we are dipping into Two Truths and an AI. And it's been a while. We haven't done one of these in a while, I feel like. So we are back with it. In this segment, we have three descriptions of movies. Two of them are actual descriptions of actual movies. One of them is a fake description that has been generated by AI. I read the three descriptions to Ike. Ike tries to guess which one is the AI. Ike, are you ready to dive in and see if you can beat the machine today?
I'm as ready as I will ever be.
Yeah, that's the way it goes when you're battling the machine.
That's right.
All right, here we go. The first description is a group of friends take a vacation to camp across Europe. Reaching Sweden, they encounter a presence that threatens their trip in lives. That is the first one.
Okay.
Number two, going to a cabin in the woods for a romantic trip, a couple are terrorized by a group of out of control teenagers with much more than pranks on their agenda. That is
Okay.
number two. Number three, a group of friends go into the countryside for a weekend get together. They begin feeling like they are being stalked, but are unsure if it is man or something more sinister. So that is, those are, excuse me, the three descriptions presented to you, Ike. So tell
Gotcha.
me, what do you think? Which do you think is the AI generated?
Wow, so this one is a little difficult just because all of these are very vague taglines. Sometimes the taglines have like a little bit of a giveaway, you know. So sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, that one's got a little bit of give. I feel somewhat confident that I have seen the second movie. I feel like I've seen the movie like that. So I feel like the second one is not AI. Now the first and the third are pretty similar, but just based on how it was worded, my gut is telling me that the third one is AI.
It is. Okay, here we go. And we will go through these and let's see if you are correct.
Oh boy.
A group of friends take a vacation to camp across Europe. Reaching Sweden, they encounter a presence that threatens their life or their trip and lives. That is an actual movie from 2017. It is a movie called The Ritual.
I have seen that movie.
Okay, well, there you go. Number two, going to a cabin in the woods for a romantic trip. A couple are terrorized by a group of out-of-control teenagers with much more than pranks on their agenda. So here it is. This is the truth of the matter. Did you get it correct or not? This movie is an actual movie. It is a movie from 2008 called Eden Lake.
I have seen Eden Lake. I knew I'd seen that movie.
There you go. Well, you've seen both of them then, apparently. I have seen neither of them. So, and number three, a group of friends go into the countryside for a weekend get together. They begin feeling like they are being stalked, but are unsure if it is man or something more sinister. That is AI generated with quote unquote people in woods scared as the parameters. So there you have it. That is two truths and an AI. Ike has beat the machine, saved us from Skynet for yet another week. So we are safe. No T-1000s or anything else traveling back to try to take us out. We're all good. Thank you, John Connor. And
Welcome.
yeah, very good, very good. So there you have it. That is two truths and an AI for this week. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have all of our news, birthdays, and movie anniversaries. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher.
All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back to the news. All right. So as of recording, this is yet to happen, but it will happen by the time that you good folks are listening to this. A teaser trailer for Terrifier 3 was released on Wednesday at San Diego Comic-Con. The movie is scheduled for release in theaters October 11th. So this is one of those weird instances where Dave and I have not yet seen this trailer. Because obviously, if there was a trailer for Terrifier 3, that's the first thing that he and I would have watched as soon as we opened our eyes this morning. But unfortunately, hasn't happened yet. And it will not happen until the day after recording this, the day before you guys listen to this. So next week, we'll talk a little bit more about it. But we are stoked, and we hope that you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm hoping, because it says, right, released at Comic-Con, I'm hoping that also means it will be released to the public.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate this is a full trailer, it's a teaser, but I don't care. Anything Terrifier 3, I am fine with. And this, if there is ever a case for you to follow us on social media, this is the case, because this will be one of those instances that once it's released, we probably won't be able to wait for recording next episode to fully, we'll probably start reacting immediately online, because this is, everybody knows that we love Terrifier. We love the Terrifier franchise. We have been counting down the days for a trailer, and for them to give us anything is super exciting. I cannot wait.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I was actually thinking, you know, small little, you know, tidbit for you guys. We started using Zoom to kind of react to the different changes in audio quality. So we're going to try and see how this works. But Dave, we should maybe look at maybe doing like a live reaction to the both of us watching that trailer. Cause I feel like we could rig that up. I feel like that could happen.
Yeah, sure. I guess we could. I'm sure it's not that hard. People do it all the time.
That's what I'm saying.
That'd be fun. Let's record our. Do we have to be super over the top and ignorant like some of these people are? Where you know they're clearly like just panning, you know, putting on for the camera.
Yeah, no pandering. We're not going to pander to you guys. We're going to give you guys our real legitimate, like, hey, this is cool shit.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Maybe we'll do that. Yeah. So stay tuned. That might be something. By the time you hear this, it may be already floating out there. Who knows?
Yeah. So, the only bad thing is, though, San Diego Comic-Con, they're in their good old Pacific Standard Time, so that's the only bad thing. But
still, if it's Wednesday, this show drops on a Thursday, so even if it gets to us later in the day, it might even still be out before the time this is released. Who knows?
True.
Or it should be soon. So we'll see what we can do about that. That would be fun. We ought to do that more with these, with trailers like this. We're all the time like texting each other. Oh, watch this trailer. Watch this trailer. This trailer is out. This trailer. We should just screw that. We should just, we should watch them together and do a live reaction.
Yeah. I'll say, well, we'll have to talk about it here in a little bit, but I mean, for instance, you know, you can share screens and you can like play sound and stuff through Zoom. So,
sure.
I mean, why not?
Why not? What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, I mean, are they going to copyright strike us?
nobody watches it. Who cares? We were still going to watch it anyway. So what's the difference does it make? So
true. But all right. Anywho, that was just something I just thought of. It popped into my brain. But
I dig it. Let's do it.
There you go. Moving on. Tina Romero, the daughter of George A. Romero, is directing the zombie movie Queens of the Dead. The story follows an eclectic group of drag queens, club kids, and frenemies who must put aside their personal dramas to combat zombies when the apocalypse breaks out during their drag show in Brooklyn. No release date has been announced for this yet, but honestly, I mean, Romero has always been a very in-touch person with like things that are going on in real life and in society. So it is very timely that we would get a zombie movie with drag queens, given the time and place that we live in. So I love it. I will 100% watch this movie. And as soon as we have more information about it, you know, I'm pumped.
Yeah, sounds like pretty incredible. I like it. I mean, it totally sounds like a very fitting chapter in the Of the Dead saga. And I like that, you know, it's one of his kids, you know, keeping within the franchise and everything else. So it's very cool. I'm that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Couple of streaming updates for you guys. We've got a couple of movies that we have reviewed that are streaming out there. Abigail is now streaming on Peacock. And of course, you can check out our review of the movie. It's in our show archives. Generally positive reviews from Dave and I. So if you haven't watched it yet, give it a watch.
Yeah, fun little movie. Good cast. It's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, no, 100%. And then in addition to that, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is now streaming on Netflix. You know, we both, I don't think we reviewed this movie, but we did talk mm-hmm. about it when the movie came out. You know, we both expressed that, you know, we were excited for it. And, you know, I believe we both have seen the movie. Have you seen the movie yet?
Yeah, I've watched it. Yeah.
Cool. So, I mean, we've both seen it. So, I think we both probably liked it. So give that a little check out on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm a little biased. I love Ghostbusters. So, you know, it's a good movie. It's a fun movie. Not my favorite of the franchise, but it'll be hard for anything to knock off the first one for me. But it's pretty solid. I like how they're transitioning to the kind of this, you know, the new age with it and melding together pieces of the old. It's they're doing a very good job of piecing it all together and transitioning and passing the torch and but it's a fun movie, a different, you know, different approach, different take, and definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, 100%. Can't beat anything Ghostbusters related. Who are you gonna call?
Yeah, that all female movie, and that's not a sexist thing. It just was not a very strong movie in my eyes.
Obviously, it's not better than the original Ghostbusters. You know, I won't pretend like it is. I did like it though. But like you said, it was not the best. But anywho, we're not a Ghostbusters podcast, guys. Unfortunately, we have some last little bit of bad news before we get on to birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. On July 15th, actor Whitney Rydbeck passed away. He is most remembered for his brief role as Roy, the nerdy businessman slash paintball player, in Friday the 13th Part 6, Jason Lives. I had to kind of think about my Roman numerals there for a second. You know, he actually has a very memorable role because as soon as they told me like what character he was, I immediately remembered who he was.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad to hear anybody pass, but, you know, especially you know, someone who's in a very fun movie like Jason Lives. I know some people don't like it, but I really enjoy Jason Lives. So, you know, may he rest in peace, and he will forever be known as the Roy the Nerdy Businessman.
Yeah. But I guess if all else fails, you know, according to Jason Lives, if we drive a metal stake into him and get it hits by lightning, maybe he can come back. No, true. I can't. I guess I shouldn't make jokes of him. No. It's a... Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't even know if he's done anything else. I'm sure he has. I don't know. I didn't really look into it, but that's not a very big role, but very, very memorable in that movie. It's he was hilarious. He was really, really, really stood out for his short time on screen in that movie.
Yeah, no, 100%. But all right, moving on to some upcoming birthdays. July 26th, 1928, Stanley Kubrick. The legend known for his direction on The Shining, A Clockwork Orange, and 2001, A Space Odyssey. You know, obviously, these are all, you know, iconic films. You know, The Shining, in my opinion, is probably one of the most iconic movies of all time. Not only just a horror movie, but it's also one of the probably most profitable Stephen King creations of all time. So, obviously Stanley Kubrick is deeply missed. He passed away back in, I believe, 1999. Yeah. But he is obviously remembered for his works, and a happy belated birthday to him.
Yeah, I mean, good Lord, those three movies alone, geez. I mean, Those are all three monster movies. Just huge ass movies. And yeah, I mean, what a visionary.
I see, Stanley Kubrick, because he also did movies like Full Metal Jacket,
Another huge movie. I mean, good lore.
Doctor Strangelove, which is a pretty decently huge
Yeah.
movie, Spartacus. I mean, Eyes Wide Shut is another big one that he did.
Yeah. I mean, dude, what an icon.
Really, though, I mean, he's one of those actors that, or not actors, but he's one of those directors that basically everything he touched turned to gold. The Kubrick touch, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows he had to have the vision and the eye, right? I mean, if what he's doing is all successful. I mean, he's obviously clearly did something right.
Yeah,
So.
100%. All right. One more birthday for you good folks out there. A Supernatural alumni, July 29th, 1980, Rachel Miner. She played Meg, one of the versions of Meg. And did you know two things about her that I did not know? She was married to Macaulay Culkin from 1998 to 2002. And she also has multiple sclerosis, MS.
Sure does. Yep, and it's pretty debilitating for her now. But if you want your heart warmed, there's been at least one instance. I don't know if there's been multiple or not, but there was a some kind of charity run type thing, and since she is in a wheelchair, obviously, but that Padalecki, Ackles, some of the other actors from Supernatural took turns in the race, pushing her in the wheelchair so that she could participate.
Wow. And I just have to say, MS is a very close thing for me, because my lovely wife Kayla, who comes on here for the wives rebuttals, she has MS. So seeing an actress have it and like participating and everything else, and she still works, you know what I mean? She has acting credits, pretty recently. So it's pretty incredible. It's very nice to see. And she's very active and talking about it too, which is great as well.
Yeah, I mean, late in her run of Supernatural, she was already had the effects. And they just found, it's why when she comes back, if you don't know Supernatural, it won't mean a lot, but when she comes back as the empty late in the show, right? It poisons her. That's why she's pretty much always sitting, right? Because she can't stand. So they found ways to involve her, right? And with Supernatural conventions, they let her do them virtually from a distance, right? Do panels and question and answers. Because of she can't travel as easily and things like that. So she's still involved, and people are keeping her involved and helping her. And yeah, she's become a very big spokesman for MS and everything else. So
Absolutely. So, big happy birthday to you, Rachel. Hope you're doing good out there.
very talented.
Very much so. Meg was one of my favorite demons. I very, very vividly remember Meg, and I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, she, well, because like you said, she comes back as the empty, but she was killed by Crowley when she was trying to help the Winchesters take out Crowley, if I remember correctly.
She has a pretty good she has a good arc, right? A redemption and everything. The stuff with her and Castiel is great in Supernatural.
It is. It's very good. All right. Enough talking about Supernatural. We always talk about Supernatural on the show. At this point, we might as well just call it Listen to Their Screams, a Supernatural podcast.
That's right.
No,
You idiots.
kidding. That's right, you idiots. I miss Bobby. He comes back pretty soon in the show, so I'm pretty excited about that.
It's on a side note, it's pretty funny because in the season finale, the latest season finale of The Boys, because he's that actor, why, well, for some reason I'm having trouble remembering his name. The Bobby Singer actor. I don't know why I can't remember his name. He's in it, right? He plays the president in it. And in one of the episodes, that last episode, he actually says "idjits and balls" in it as kind of a throwback to Bobby Singer, which that show is also created and ran by Eric Kripke, who did Supernatural, and
Right.
yeah, so
His name was Jim Beaver, right?
that's
Jim
it, Jim
Beaver.
Beaver. Yeah, I don't know why I couldn't remember that off the top of my head. So.
Good old Jim Beaver. It still just blows my mind that he's Bobby Singer's name is he's named after like a producer, right? Robert Singer. Always cracks me up. But anywho, moving on, upcoming movie anniversaries. We got plenty for you guys. July 25th, 1986, Maximum Overdrive. this is a fantastic Stephen King related film as well.
So I mean, good.
It's super cheesy. It is.
I love it.
All hell, but it's so good.
I don't care. This man, this is one of my favorite movies. This, I mean, just if, as you, we talk through this list, this is like my list right here. A lot. There's so many great movies that I love in this list today, but and Maximum Overdrive is one of them. It is one of my favorite Stephen King movies.
Yeah. I mean, Maximum Overdrive is just, I will forever have the image of the green-faced truck burnt into my mind.
Yeah, it's like the Green Goblin.
It really is. But very good. July 27, 1979, the Amityville Horror. And we're not talking about the one where Ryan Reynolds is shirtless. This is the OG. Now, it is timely that I bring up Ryan Reynolds, but I do like the new one. Amityville Horror. It's a decent remake, but the original is very much superior.
It is, yeah. Another great movie. Love it. Love Amityville Horror.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and this is all ties into what the Warrens and shit like that. So, which portrayed in The Conjuring and whatever else. So, because they studied the Amityville house and everything else, Amityville Horror is such a great movie.
Absolutely. Good old times with the Amityville Horror, and you are correct. And Lorraine Warren did investigate the Amityville Horror in real life, and the Amityville Horror was briefly mentioned, I believe, in The Conjuring 2.
Yeah.
So.
The next movie anniversary, this is the one that every time we've mentioned this anniversary, I said should be a national holiday.
It should be. July 28th, 1989, Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. I mean, Jason Takes Manhattan has so much good shit in it, you know.
I love this movie. Oh, my Lord.
The freaking boxing on top of the roof. Oh. I mean, the fact that they're, like, supposedly in Manhattan, but it's, like, empty streets of, Quebec or something like that.
Except for, like, the brief scene in Times Square that they got to film.
Right.
And 60% of the movie's like on a ship or whatever it might be, or it's, I don't care. The movie was so damn good. I just like how I love Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors. And it is one of the cheesiest, most peculiar, whatever movies in that franchise. Same with this. I love, it just works for me. I don't care. It's horror, right? Come on. There's, why can't you do this shit? I mean, we've got a zombie guy that's been resurrected two or three times at this point and everything else. And so I don't know. Don't come at me with, it's so cheesy. Who cares? Well, it's not a documentary, although that'd be cool if it was. But I love Friday 3 and everything else. But man. Oh, Jason Takes Manhattan seriously should be a national holiday. What a national treasure.
100%. And if you've never seen it, give it a check out sometime, because you're definitely missing out.
Absolutely. It's such a great movie. So much fun.
Oh, man. All right. Moving on to July 28th, 2023. Talk to Me. This is a fantastic, fantastic movie. We reviewed it last year. Review is in the archive, so check it out. But it's superior, superb, so good. One of our favorite movies from last year. Yeah. And it's a good rewatch. I recently rewatched it, and it holds up.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. It is one of the best modern horror movies to me. I just so cool, so well acted, so well cast. Concept's great. It's such a fun movie to watch. So much fun. And if you listen to the review in the archives, I'll say those exact same things.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to July 29th, 1988, Monkey Shines. Never seen this movie, so Dave, you're going to have to help me out here.
It's got Jason, how do you say his name? The dude from Chicago PD. That plays the captain guy or the sergeant guy. Anyway, he's got some issues. He has a trained monkey to do things for him, to help him with things, and shit happens and it goes awry. Pretty terrifying when you have a monkey that kind of loses its mind and everything else. So, you know, not the best movie, but certainly a fun watch. Definitely a 1988 type movie, but it's fun. I advise anybody to give it a shot.
Good stuff. Check that out sometime. But moving on to July 31st.
Oh yeah, another one that should be a national holiday.
Oh man, July 31st, 1987, The Lost Boys. Dave's one of his favorites. I love the movie too, but I don't think my love matches Dave's love for this film.
Best vampire movie ever. I just absolutely this is the kind of vampires I like. I want my vampires fucking cool, hanging out in the boardwalk in California, hanging from train bridges, just whatever. The Lost Boys, perfect movie. Just I could watch this movie nonstop. So good, so good.
I'll have to check this out sometime because here's the thing: I've watched it, but it's been so long since I've watched it. And I remember the movie, but I need to go back and rewatch it so I can have an up-to-date memory of it.
It's got fucking Corey Haim and Corey Feldman, you know, Kiefer Sutherland, Jason Patrick. It's just fucking such a great movie. I mean, literally my favorite vampire movie ever.
You're not your favorite vampire movie's not Twilight?
Move on. I ain't even responding to that. No.
Oh, man.
My vampires do not spark.
My vampires do not sparkle. All right, I kid. But another fantastic movie, July 31st, 2009, The Collector. So I've seen this movie. There's a sequel called The Collection. Mm-hmm. And they recently announced, the guy who made the first two movies announced that they are making a third movie, and it's called The Collected. I'm not super sure. They've not really released any details other than that it's happening. So that'll come out at some juncture in the future.
Yeah, I don't understand how certain movies don't get talked about more, because these movies are really good. And it's just, you know, just like the movies Creep. I'm like, why do people not talk about these more in the same breath as some of the, because these are really underappreciated films for me. And I think The Collector is great. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. The Collector Collection, they're definitely underrated movies. So if you guys have not seen them, I'm not super sure where they're streaming. They are streaming, I think, on like Tubi or something like that.
Yeah.
But check them out if you haven't, because they are very good movies.
Yeah, it's just weird because you hear, you know, people, and I'm not arguing their picks or whatever. Right. You know, you hear people throw out movies all the time. Oh, what about this movie? You know, it's underappreciated. And it's like, I don't know. It's just like these, they don't get spoke of enough. It's weird. I don't know. It's just kind of odd to me, because these are really, to me, they're really solid movies and really, you know, really fun to watch. And it's weird that you don't see them mentioned as much as what I think you should. So maybe we should try to change that.
There you go. Check it out sometime. Watch it. Let us know what you think. And I think when The Collector comes out, we should do a series review.
Yeah.
There you go. Word. All right. Word. All right, moving on to some upcoming releases. We got some cool stuff for you. First things first, Mike Flanagan's Hush is finally coming to video on demand on August 27th. You know, when we last talked about Hush, it was in the form of a wives rebuttal. And for lack of a better phrase, we had a very hard time finding out where to watch this. It was literally nowhere. For apparently valid reason, I guess. And we found on YouTube, I think. I'm not gonna say who uploaded it, but somebody uploaded it on YouTube. It's not illegal for me to watch it. It's illegal to upload it.
Shame, shame.
That's right. Shame on you. You know who you are. But I'm kidding. But yeah, I mean, it's just wild that a movie like this is literally nowhere. It was on Netflix for the longest time as well.
Yeah, it's weird. It's been a thing, right? I mean, people are talking about what's the deal with this. But I don't know I don't know all the details. I know Mike Flanagan is back in his control, I guess. It is coming to video on demand. The talk is that it will be coming again to some streaming service, right? He's negotiating that. You know, they obviously probably want to let it get a little run video on demand, see what they can make off that. This will probably be one that I'll purchase video on demand, because I like the movie. I love it. I think it's a solid movie. contrary to what the wives say. Yeah. And, you know, so I'm pretty excited because this is definitely one of those movies that I'd give a rewatch to, but it's you just haven't been able to. And it's one of those movies you can't recommend to people because it's like, what are you going to tell them? Hey, go watch this movie that you can't find anywhere. It's not streaming. There's not a physical release. There's nothing. And that's the other thing. Supposedly, that whatever's happened, there will be a physical media release of this coming up. So all these things that have never, where it's never been, you know, it's weird. But it's all happening. So yeah, as things develop, I'm sure we'll keep people abreast on the situation.
Yep. Always. All right. Moving on to Shine On. And we're not talking about that song, Shine On. We're talking about Shine On, the Forgotten Shining Location documentary. It is said to capture the location scouting and the making of the art direction for the Overlook Hotel at L Street Studios. The documentary will debut on Stanley Kubrick YouTube channel on Friday, July 26th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is wild this man has a YouTube channel and he is no longer with us, but I dig it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the estate. They just probably gonna put that in there, I guess. But I don't know. I haven't really researched it. I don't know the whole gist of this. If I read right, and I could be way off, so forgive me if I'm wrong. There have been sets and stuff that were created for the hotel that I think they thought were long gone, destroyed, repurposed, whatever it may be. And what I read is right, they actually discovered some of these sets that they thought were, I don't know. Apparently this has been a thing, right? People, I guess I missed a lot of mystery shrouding around the Overlook Hotel sets and whatnot. And I don't know. So I'm curious to see this to get a little more insight on what this is about. But again, we spoke of it earlier. I love The Shining. So I'm, you know what? It's intrigued me.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll have to check that out then to unshroud the mystery.
Coming up soon. I mean, it'll be, you know, coming out the day after we release this episode. So
yeah.
On so, YouTube. So you don't have to wait for free. That.
Oh, free.
Way to go, Stanley.
That's right. Thank you, Stanley, for continuing your hard work, even in the grave.
Still putting up that good shit from the afterlife.
That's right. I mean that respectfully, sir.
Yeah.
Please don't haunt me.
Come on. If you're going to be haunted by something, I mean, you could do worse than Stanley Kubrick.
That's true. That's true. I could be haunted by, like, I don't even know. Like, I was going to say, I don't even know. I can't even think of, like, somebody annoying who I wouldn't want to be haunted by. But
I don't know. The next time you get a shower, you're going to get out and look in the mirror and written in the steam is going to be red rum.
Right, red rum. Oh, man.
There you go.
I'm looking out for it. But, all right. Moving on. We have one last little release for you guys. Coming out also on July 26th, Humane. This film is releasing on Shudder and is described as in the wake of environmental collapse that is forcing humanity to shed 20% of its population. A family dinner erupts into chaos when a father's plan to enlist in the government's new euthanasia program goes horribly awry. We'll be reviewing this movie next episode. Two things. I actually am pretty interested in this movie because it tackles a very interesting concept such as, environmental collapse and post-apocalypse and things like that. But also it kind of goes in line with what we're reviewing today, which is Arcadian, which also is sort of post-apocalypse. But also we had to keep this upcoming weekend open because Deadpool and Wolverine's coming out. So had to keep her open, had to keep that schedule open, guys.
Yeah. It's not like there's, a big theater release out there to go. I mean, within the horror realm, to
maybe
go
Twisters.
See. Dude, I have zero desire to see Twisters.
Damn.
I seriously, I was all on board for this movie when I thought it was going to be a sequel. Right, like when they originally came out, it was going to be a sequel, and the talk was going to be it was going to be their kid, one of their kids, and blah blah blah. And I was like, I'm on board. I'm good with this. And now that it's just like this weird ass modern cheap remake. Fuck that. I don't care. The first with Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt, that movie's great. It's perfect. You don't need to remake that. Put an S on it. That doesn't change the movie. I don't know. I'll watch it probably when it comes to streaming. I'm not going to a theater to watch that shit.
Man, got them all worked up. Mentioned Twisters. Got Dave's blood pressure.
That's right. Because they fucking pulled the bait and switch on me. Got me all excited because here I thought they were going to do some kind of, you know, one of those requel sequel type deals. And it was going to be pretty cool. And then it's like, no, it's just pretty much a straight kind of a remake, whatever. I'm like, what? Why are you remaking that movie, man? It didn't need to be remade. What a great cast. Don't remake that movie.
Yeah, Kayla wants to go see it, and we'll probably watch it at some point, maybe on streaming or something like that. But I wasn't super, super looking to like go and watch it in theaters. I was like, I don't know if I want to spend my money on that, but I digress.
Mm-mm, not me. When it comes to a service that I already subscribe to, I might give it a watch and sit there and, you know, shake my head in disdain. But nah, I ain't going to a theater. Not happening.
He said, no can do, no can do.
I'll go see Inside Out 2 before I go see that crap.
Hey, Inside Out 2 is good.
I'm not saying it's not, but it's not the kind of typical movie I go to a theater to watch. I typically watch those kind of things when they come to streaming.
That is fair. That is fair.
A lot of my time lately has been invested on the MeTV Toons channel that's come out. Have you heard about that?
It's like all
the classic classic cartoons and lots of old stuff.
Yeah, and it's like free, isn't it?
Well, yes and no. It is on lots of cable providers and things like that. There's not a way to watch it independent if you don't have a cable service or a satellite service or anything like that. But it is on the Frndly app, which is like, whatever, $7, $9 a month, something like that. And I would pay that just to watch the MeTV Toons anyway, so I actually subscribe to Frndly now. And I have invested quite a bit of time to rewatching some of these cartoons. And it has made me very, very happy.
Huh. Very, very cool.
Lots of nostalgia.
I'll have to check it out because I'm all about old cartoons and everything else.
This is great stuff. Lots of stuff from when I, you know, was a kid. Oh, even before I was a kid, right? But it's still being replayed when I was a kid. You know, lots of Tom and Jerry, Woody Woodpecker. Lots of, you know, some of the Hanna-Barbera stuff. But then there's, they do these 80 blocks, right? With the Ghostbusters, the Police Academy cartoon, the Alf cartoon. Just lots of good shit. And very, very, makes me happy.
There you go. A little bit of information for you guys. Get some cartoon watching in there somewhere.
I love cartoons. Especially old cartoons, you know, so.
Can't beat it, but all right.
But you know what I don't like? Twisters.
Twisters. He doesn't like Twisters.
I don't like the concept, at least. Watch me. I'll watch the movie. I'll be like, God damn, I love that. So you watch. It's
right.
It's. I'm not holding out that hope, but wouldn't that be an ironic kick in the ass?
Oh, Lord. So I've heard it's actually not too bad. Despite it being like a remake, I've actually heard pretty decent things about the movie, like just generally speaking.
But. See, the thing is, though, the original is one of my favorite movies. I love that. I've seen that movie so many times. It's one of those comfort movies that I can just throw on anytime and watch. I love that movie. The cast is so good. And, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman's in it and everything. Oh, it's just such a great movie that I don't know. I don't know how good, no matter how good it is, I don't think it's going to hit me the right way. It's like putting Jackie, or like putting fucking Will Smith's kid in Karate Kid. It just ain't going to work for me.
Good old Jaden Smith. All right. Well, anywho, before we get too far down that tirade, check out these movies on streaming and theaters and all that good stuff. Plenty of stuff for you guys to check out this weekend. But here's what we'll do. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, you're going to have our official review of Arcadian. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslepod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. POD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, we're back here and listen to the screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Arcadian. The movie was written by Mike Nealon, directed by Benjamin Brewer, starring Nicolas Cage, Jaden Martell, and Maxwell Jenkins. The movie was released April 12, 2024 in theaters, and then on July 12th on Shudder. The movie originally grossed $504,937 domestically on its opening weekend, which was good for number 15 that week. A little bit of trivia that I did see on this movie. In preparation for the movie, Nicolas Cage isolated himself with his family for 3 months. I saw a bit of trivia, and all I can say is, hey, Nick, that's just welcome to my life. I kind of try to isolate and avoid shit, you know, all the time. So apparently I can make this movie. And another bit of trivia, director Ben Brewer stated that the monsters in the movie were inspired by the Disney character Goofy. I don't know that I saw this in the course of watching this movie. I'm not sure what he's talking about. But I mean, if he says so, he says so. That's right. He created them, but not seeing that lineage, Ben. But okay, good for you. There's not
Goofy.
I love Goofy, man. The Goofy movie is such a great movie too. Since we're talking about animated shit. There's really not a whole lot to really say about this movie. It's a fun movie, right? It was an easy watch. Very much felt, you know, kind of like, you know, one of the Quiet Place movies, right? Or whatever, your post-apocalyptic. You have these creatures that everybody's kind of trying to adapt to life with them there, trying to hide from and whatnot. One thing I do say is because this is our second Nick Cage movie in a row now that we reviewed. I'm enjoying that. I think Nick settled into this a little more supporting type role, right? I thought this movie was going to be all Nick Cage, right? He was going to be front and center, and it really wasn't. It was more about his sons. He got hurt in it, spoiler alert, and everything. But, I mean, he's in it, and he's in it plenty. But the focus, plot-wise, was really more on his sons. So I guess I kind of like that he settled into this, kind of this new role. I think it works for him. The movie was fun. It was, well shot, well acted, everything was, I liked everything about it. It was enjoyable to watch. That being said, there's not a whole lot super original about this movie, right? I feel like this concept's been done many times, and I'm not saying that necessarily so much in a bad way, but it's just, I don't feel like they really broke any new ground here. It's a post-apocalyptic monster creature type movie that was well executed, but there was no clever twist, no super original about it. But it was still enjoyable. It still was fun to watch. Thought it was very well acted. Had a great cast. I think everybody did great. I think they really captured the feel of what the scenario they were trying to explore in this movie of this kind of brave new world of, it's almost like a, I don't know, it had vibes, even of Walking Dead, right? Because they kept telling the kids, oh, hey, but there's this, we once had a thing called Laws. This is before you were born, right? It was like, kind of, you see that in the Walking Dead series a lot, right? With the kids, there's like, oh, this is, these kids don't understand the world pre this. And that's right. Kind of how this was. This was life to them. This was the world. It did a good job capturing that. But again, fun movie, but to me, there was nothing super original or groundbreaking about it. It was well executed, but I think they played it safe, and that's okay. Because I think this is a movie that will, it didn't exactly light it up in the theaters. I'm sure it probably didn't get a huge release. But I think this is going to be a pretty solid movie for Shudder and AMC Plus streaming wise. This is kind of one of those movies that really feels in its pocket on a streaming service. So I did enjoy it. Just nothing though that really blew my mind and made me say wow. So Ike, what do you think?
You know, I like you said, it definitely wasn't breaking any new ground. But one thing I will say is that for me, Arcadian was honestly a very pleasant surprise. I kind of went into it not super sure of what I was getting. You know, I knew it was kind of like, you know, post-apocalypse. You know, Nick Cage is going to be the dad of two kids who are going to be doing some fighting of some kind. You know, I will say that I love the cast. You know, I think his name's Jaden Martell, I believe his name is. I could be wrong about that, but he was the kid from It Chapter 1 and 2. He plays.
That's Jaden Martell.
Jaden Martell, yeah, okay. So, but he was in it. He did a really good job.
Yeah, he was the highlight of the movie. He was great.
He really was. I feel like he did a really just a solid job of playing like a kid still. You know what I mean? Like a teenager. You know, and he was like kind of like the tech smarty guy. You know, he kind of had that stuff going on. And he was great. Yeah, Jaden Martell did great. Nick Cage did great. I mean, honestly, everyone did a great job. It was by no means a poorly acted movie. But, you know, it's obviously it's one of those movies that, you know, you can only really build upon the concept of a post-apocalypse in so many ways. And you can only build upon the idea of monsters coming after you. Now, here's what I will say. I was looking at some drawings from the creator, and I can kind of see where he was going with the whole Goofy thing.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I actually, weirdly enough, IGN posted an article. It was not a review of the movie because IGN is ass at reviewing movies. But it was just talking. It was like an interview with the director or whoever. And there's like a drawing, and it does kind of look like Goofy and like how he drew it. So that's kind of cool. All right, well. But what I will say is that the monsters actually really surprised me. They were very creative, very unique. And the fucking sound that they made is so weird. Yeah. Like they do this thing, and I'm not going to play like. I want to play the sound, but like I don't even know if I can. I don't know if we'll get flagged for that. But it's like this weird, like chomping, like a kind of sound, and like the way that their heads move is just so unnatural. It's just like oh man, I don't even know how to describe it. Yeah. But genuinely, the last like 20-30 minutes of the movie easily could have really it. The first three quarters of the movie could have been shit, and the last 20-30 minutes would have easily made up for it. And like, that's what's so crazy about this is that the whole movie was good. It was well acted, a lot of tension built, but like that last little bit was so amazing. And the monsters and getting up close and personal and them burrowing underground and stuff. Oh man.
Yeah. They had a vision for the ending. And it was a tricky ending, right? And it wasn't your, you know, all's well, happy, you know, fairy tale happy ending. And they went with it, right? They committed to it. They stuck with it. It had a lot of emotion to it. And I do give them a hats off for that, you know, cause, they didn't take the safe route, you know, what you know, everybody, bam, everybody lives happily ever after and survives and all's well. They followed through. I feel like on whatever vision they had for it, and you're right, that did help redeem it, because you know a lot of the movie felt like, you know, like almost like a Quiet Place type clone, right? It was the same type concept where you didn't have to be quiet, but you know you had to, you know, you couldn't go out at night, right? It was the same, you know, there were still these limitations that people. It was still almost the same concept, right? There's these new creatures. People had to adapt to it. You had to do this thing, and it felt very much like that. But you know, it was, and I'm not again not knocking it because of it. But they did. You know, you're right. They did bring it home pretty good. And there's not really that many flaws to the movie, except for, you know, perhaps, yeah, a little bit on the originality side, perhaps. What are you gonna do? I mean, you know, yeah. You not every movie can be completely 100% original. You know, it's not, and you know, and I don't think that's what they, you know, I don't think that's what they set out to do. I don't think they were trying to convince us that they were coming out, you know, super original. But again, it was a solid movie. But I do think it's gonna be. I do think it'll be successful, like I said, be successful as a streaming service movie.
This is kind of movie that people are going to be like, oh, a Nick Cage movie. Watch it. Be like, oh, that was pretty good. And this just feels like one of those type of movies that works really well for that.
Well, and I was going to say, especially with, you know, Nick Cage's success in theaters with Long Legs, I feel like that's really going to, I mean, I feel like the release of this movie, I'm pretty sure it came out either the same weekend as Long Legs or like the very next weekend. But it's just wild to me that, like, I feel like his success in Long Legs is going to kind of spread on Arcadian and, you know, the streaming service. So, you know,
this came out in Shudder the same day that Long Legs hit theaters. So
there you go. And I mean, I think we even kind of talked about it when we did the Long Legs episode. We're like, yeah, you know, Nick Cage is eating good this month, I guess, you know. You know, he paying off those bills, I guess. But yeah, no, it's just really cool. I genuinely have enjoyed, and like, I love Nick Cage, don't get me wrong, but I haven't always loved Nick Cage, right? Yeah, like, yeah. I wasn't, there was a period of time where I wasn't like a huge fan of his movies, but like, I feel like the older I've gotten, the more I've like really enjoyed Nick Cage movies. So like, you know, Long Legs, Willy's Wonderland. Now, to be fair, in Willy's Wonderland, the man doesn't speak, so that could also be part of it. And of course, Arcadian, it's another good one, you know, and I'm sure he's got other stuff. You know, I've heard that he's good in the movie. I think it's called Pig.
Yeah, he highly touts Pig, that if he was going to show someone one piece of his work, it would be Pig. And I've yet to watch Pig. I just felt like there for so long, he did, and he still does it quite a bit. But he did so many movies that he was just thinking, like, it felt like everything. And I don't know. I feel like he's getting, either he's being more selective, or he's just getting better material thrown at him. That it's, you know, things are again, or like I said earlier, maybe he's found this a type of place and role in these movies to settle into, right? Maybe he's down to that place where he realizes, I don't have to carry the movie, right? Some of these young actors are talented enough that, you know, we talked about it in Long Legs. Nick Cage doesn't carry that movie.
Yeah,
but he does very well in that role. I don't feel in this movie that he carried the movie. I felt like you know, the two kids, Jade Martell in particular, I felt like they carried the movie. And but you know, Nick Cage was very strong in a supporting role of that. And so maybe that's, you know, maybe he's just settled in to understand that, hey, you know what, this is the new me. This is the new thing I enjoy doing. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe Nick Cage doesn't give it that much thought. Maybe he just like, oh yeah, this seems pretty good. What's it pay? Okay, cool. I'll do it. And, but, you know, I think he's got some good stuff that's been coming out recently. And, I would be curious to see the impact, like on this, of the viewership on this with Long Legs, right? I would be so curious. I don't know if there's a way to particularly track it. Probably not. Where people that go and see Long Legs that go then come home and soon after want to watch more, you know, something else with Nick Cage and are watching something like this. You know, you would think there's got to be at least some trickle down effect. I would think. But yeah. Of course, I don't think there's any realistic way to track that. but it's not like you're logging into a streaming service and it's, I want to watch Arcadian. Why did you pick this movie? No, because right. I saw Long Legs. No, you know, it's... But anyway, it's just a curious, weird-ass thought that came to my mind.
That's how these episodes usually go, right?
Yeah, sure. And but again, you know, I like Nick Cage, right? And I really like some of his movies in the past. He's done some really spectacular stuff. You know, and then he had this period where it's kind of, a lot of mediocre. I'm like, whatever. You know, I think he's had his course. And then it's like, you know, I don't know. It's like, I didn't see a whole lot of Nick Cage for a while. I kind of avoided some of his movies, it seemed like, right? It's like, because I just had this thing where I thought, wow, they're probably not that great. Probably not that high quality. And then we reviewed these two, and I'm like, man, I really enjoy these movies. I love Long Legs, and I thought this was fun. So it's like, whatever. So he's still doing his thing. More power to him.
I feel like, and I mean this respectfully, I feel like Nick Cage is kind of like the Nickelback of like acting. Like, you know, people hate on Nickelback because it's kind of popular to hate on Nickelback. So I feel like there was like a period of time in pop culture where like people just kind of hated on like Nick Cage just to hate on Nick Cage,
I guess.
But yeah, I kind of think that like, you know, hey, I might need to go back there and watch some of his, you know, filmography and kind of see like, you know, hey, what kind of shit has he been doing? You know, like, like you said, you know, Pig, I think is the one we were just talking about. And,
you know, yeah, I definitely want to go back and catch that one. Cause I think it's one of those that I heard of it. And I heard it was supposed to be pretty good. I was like, eh, I don't know. It's got Nick Cage in it. It's like, eh, I don't know. But I think I just kind of didn't even give it much thought. And, so yeah, I definitely want to go back and catch that. But you know, I'll give you my hats off for at least these two. And again, like he didn't carry long legs, but man, he was great in what he did. And, I thought he was pretty strong in this. So let's wind it down and let's give this a rating. Again, it was a fun movie. I loved it. You know, enjoyable watch. Love's a strong word. Nothing original. But I still feel like the way I rate movies, whatever else, this is just kind of a standard 3 out of 5 for me. That's not a bad thing. I enjoyed it. It's fun. It's probably a movie I'd rewatch at some point. But it's nothing that I'm going to go out and start stopping people on the streets that I don't know and say, hey, have you seen Arcadian? And, you know, everything else. It's just, you know, I think the lack of originality hurts a little bit in my eyes, even though, you know, they deliver well on the formula here. So I'm giving it a 3 screams out of 5. So, Ike, what are you giving it?
Yeah, I do have to kind of agree. Like you said, it is, we're not rating it a 3 because it was a bad movie. It was just a movie that we enjoyed. And, you know, it didn't have that originality, which, you know, a lot of times apocalypse and monster movies can't really have. You know, unfortunately, there's so much content that saturates the horror genre that a lot of times these concepts and ideas, they get reused. So it's not a bad thing. It just is what it is. So I would have to agree, give it a good solid 3 out of 5.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to do something that's not already been done. Because if you go back through the course of cinematic history, I mean, post-apocalyptic monster invasion type movies, man, they have been done to death, right? They've done everything, every type of creature imaginable, every type of approach. And so it'd be really hard to try to come up with something, a completely original angle. So, you know, sometimes, again, there's no shame in just doing well what you do. And, you know, again, we've said it before, not everything has to be this super original Oscar winning things. Sometimes it's okay just to settle in a groove and make a fun movie. And that's what they've done here. And so I definitely, you know, I think definitely people should, this is a definite fun, you know, pop some popcorn, grab some candy, sit on your couch on a Friday night kind of movie that I advise people to give it a watch. It's fun. So give it a chance. Like we said earlier, next episode, we are reviewing the movie Humane, which will become available July 26th on Shudder. So watch for that coming next week from us. Before we get out of here, we'd like to say thank you to our wives and then all of you, the listeners and the followers. Everything you do and all the support you guys all give us, it makes it so much fun to do what we do. We love the feedback. We love the interactions that you give us. You know, keep being you, keep having a good time with horror, and you know, we'll keep doing the same. So, all right, before we close this out and get out of here, anything you want to throw in?
Well, you know, there's not a whole ton of memorable lines from this, like there were with Long Legs. You know, I actually, I'll end this off with a very small story. Last episode, I did my, you know, my impersonation of Long Legs from Long Legs.
That's right. The
birthday girl, you know, and I did that impression for Kayla, and she thought it was kind of creepy. So,
supposed to be creepy.
Very much so. Very much so. And but no, that's not the story. The story is actually I had a nightmare about a week ago about Long Legs, about the creepy fucker from Long Legs. Oh man. Probably before man. We recorded the last episode, I had the nightmare, and I honestly completely forgot to mention it on the episode, but yeah, well, spooky shit.
They did their job then.
They really did. I still see his face in my dreams.
I had a nightmare last night too, but it was the fact that my nightmare, I was stuck in a shit job I used to have to work that I hated, and I was back in it because, oh, that was horrific.
I get those nightmares occasionally too.
That's not good, man. I don't know what regurgitated that in me, but it was not fun. When I woke up and I was like, oh shit. Oh wait, no, I don't do that anymore. I'm good. So it was all good. So there you have it. So maybe, hey, before we get out of here, maybe I just give us that impersonation of the creature from Arcadia one more time that you did earlier. There you go. There's your impersonation. I'll clip that and clip it with your long legs. We'll just put it all together. It'll be that Nick Cage super mix for Mike.
Nick Cage super mix.
I'm going to take that and put a beat behind it. It'll burn up the charts.
Hell yeah.
There you go. So again, next week we'll be reviewing Humane. I started to say we'll be reviewing the review. We will be reviewing Humane. That will be out on Shudder at that time. But until then, we better get out of here because we're acting a little goofy. So until that episode, where do you go? What do you do? Be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.